again, for those who would not be familiar with New Moon, basically it's the beginning of the lunar calendar. For those of you that are unfamiliar with the lunar calendar, it's on a solar calendar of some type. Today is the day that the father to approach him, give an account for the previous month, and it highlights a specific tribe, and it's a focus that the spirit is this month. Some general things that every month and every year we will cover about certain months. Each month, each year also has a different theme because there's difference doing. So again, we look at communion. You come before the Lord, forgiveness. You receive forgiveness. You grant forgiveness. So what we're going to do real quick with you, we're going to look at, okay, what are the devices that Satan has used to hinder our duties and our destiny? And then we're not going to spend a lot of time. These are things you really have to know and understand and combat. So we know he uses the emotional giants of fear, regret, and guilt. He uses the thoughts of the thief, stalker. We know in the fourth month, he uses covetous, greed. We know in the fifth month, he uses convincing events, narratives. Now, I want to spend a little time on that because it goes really into what we're going to do. Understand the best way to deceive a believer, to entrap, is to give him or her 90, 95%. But that 5% lie. Now it's that you develop this false narrative as truth. This is God. Now, why is that important? Because that's what's going on in this world. He is successfully deceiving believers with substantial or partial truth. They don't fully know scripture. They don't fully trust God. It causes them own understanding, and we all know that, know the scripture, way that seems right unto men, but we know that death and destruction. So when we go take them false narratives, we have to realize those deceptions, the misdirection for the month six, that creates people living them. They honestly think it's true. They live in it. They relate to God and I in it. And it's a pseudo reality that's going to have a confrontation with actual reality. An example of that is the rapture. Because narrative, and that is Jesus comes before the Antichrist, happens to those that believe that when the Antichrist appears and they're still. Now there's a crash course in reality. Now I go to this. It uses pseudo realities to spawn pseudo servants. In other words, he gets you to be a proclaimer of gospel. So you see people spouting all over social media, everybody spouting these truths, but they're not gospel truths. Truths that can set you free. So now let me give you an example because we got to go into it. We're going to this tribe tonight. The Bible says that if you would continue in my word, then you would know the truth, and then that truth would set you free. This empowered Paul to remind people that faith, trust from hearing and understanding the word of God. So again, false narrative, watch a pseudo reality. Is I'm going to preach to you, I'm going to tell you all these other things And then I'm going to walk away thinking, I've done something for God. I've helped you. Well, the only thing in free from sin is the blood of the Son, the Word, the Spirit, and the Father. All this other stuff that I do, and that's what Paul was to understand, it's no good to set people free. If you just fast all day, that's if you have no trust. If I do all these things, it doesn't mean themselves, it just will not set me free. Now, next step, again, so what do we want? Let's look at what the Spirit is wanting to do. The servant is going to provide selfless service. So that when it's God that are not looking for fame, acclaim, reward, they're noticed, credited, they're not looking for any of that, because the bedrock service in the kingdom is selfless service. When people put their name on ministries, that's already disqualified as selfless service. Because who?
Amen.
So we're going to look, but this selfless service is going to birth benevolent works. And you're going to see how all this ties together. This is why John the Baptist did and lived the way he did. Why Jesus did he did. Why the apostles did and lived the way they lived. It's because selfless service only produces one kind of work. In other words, if I'm serving God and I'm getting something out of it, then it's not benevolent. So we're going to see where that goes. If I'm going to always tell you what I've done for people, that's not benevolent. Reward. So I got to realize in this time period that we live in, one of the body is sick and is aching and is hurting is that people have been to receive selfish service and not selfless service. And been getting are not benevolent, so there's a cost to it, to even it. So now let's go ahead and now start at Tevet. Let's look at our introduction. What do we want to see about Tevet? Tevet is the first month of winter. Now, again, this is important. Tevet, Shavat, Adar. Next to the tribe of Dan. Now, there's some things you're going to learn about Dan today that for those who are new are going to surprise you. But for those that this is not no deeper, and you're going to see some things as to not only why he was, why they did what they did, and you're going to see for some of you what you do. And you want to look at, I want to deny that heritage. See that now. I want to deny that heritage. All right. So we're going to look at this word Tevet. The T shares a root with the Hebrew word tov, which means good. Now, I can come back. Now, those of you know, in month 10, what do we know about month 10? Corporate relations. What do we remember? We know that this is the last month in God's year for a corporate persecution. Now, for those of you paying attention, this month was one of the worst months on the Jewish calendar. But yet, what does God say about this month? He uses the word what? Tov, which means good. So I need to understand, Tevet is when the Spirit exposes some truth in the midst of this corporate persecution that reveals his hidden. That word is hidden. It reveals his hidden good to those that are seeking. Now, I'm going to explain that a little bit and come back, because this is really, really powerful for those paying attention. Hear what the Spirit is saying. What do I understand? What's taking place? Persecution. but what has God set inside that persecution?
A hidden good.
So in other words, there's some good in this month that is there, but you don't see it. It's not superficial.
Amen.
You won't pay attention to it. You have to be seeking because you know it. Are you hearing me? All this stuff is happening, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep seeking till I find what was hidden. So watch how he does it. He's going to do it via a read of what's good. So in other words, this month, God has something for you, but you got to choose to seek it. And in the process of that seeking, he's going to redefine the things you call good. So there's going to be things this month you've always called good, you're going to now say are bad. And there are going to be things this month you've always said are bad, now you're going to see that they're good. And what else is he going to do? He's going to give unexpected comfort to those in the valley. Now, how's he going to do that? Because he's going to redefine for them what is a mountain. How's he going to give them comfort? He's going to redefine some things. Now, for those of you who've been on East Coast, Appalachian Mountains, for those you've been West Coast, Rocky Mountains, if you've been to the Rocky Mountains, you do not call the Blue Ridge or the Appalachians mountains. You don't see them as mountains. 4,000-5,000 feet elevation is nothing like 8,000-10,000 feet. So the person that's been taken to the Rocky Mountains, are they going to look at the Appalachian Mountains the same way?
No.
No. So in this month, the Spirit's going to show me in my search and comfort me by redefining some things for me. And as bad as I thought some things were, I'm going to see they're not going to bother me the same like they used to. Now, again, if you sprained the wrist, that's not the same as breaking it. So in my redefinition, I'm going to get some comfort because God's going to show me some things. So let's go ahead on here to what he's going to show us. So let's look at some important facts to focus on concerning the 10th month this year. All right, excuse me. All right, this month always starts with the last days of Hanukkah. Now, watch what we got to understand about this month. And it memorializes a cruel oppression of the faithful. Now, watch something that most of us don't know because we don't connect that. But it was also the time that the Judeans sought to kill Yeshua for claiming to be the Son of God. So let's go ahead and read this. Watch again. It was Hanukkah, the festival of the light, okay, which ends in Tevet, the worst month of the year to them. And here comes Jesus, who told them, I am the light of the world. In other words, this Hanukkah is not about the past. It's about the present.
Amen.
See, because there was a miracle in Hanukkah, but that miracle only delayed the oppression. So here comes the true menorah. Here comes the true light that will not only relieve you of the oppression, it will deliver you from the oppression, and it will let you and make you stand in the midst of the oppression.
Amen.
And notice what they wanted to do to him. Go ahead, let's read it, Deb.
John 10, verses 22, 31 through 33. Then came Hanukkah in Jerusalem. It was winter. Once again, the Judeans picked up rocks in order to stone him. Yeshua answered them, "You have seen me do many good deeds that reflect the Father's power. For which one of these deeds are you stoning me?" The Judeans replied, "We are not stoning you for any good deed, but for blasphemy, because you, who are only a man, are making yourself out to be God."
So now let's watch this reality, this oppression. Watch the reality of the false narrative. He wasn't guilty of blasphemy because he was God the Son. They saw him do things no man had ever done, and they couldn't answer, or they couldn't prove he wasn't who he said, because if he was the Son of God, then what did that make them? So you out there who are trying to live right, you have to understand that if you are trying to live right, the people you have to worry about the most are not the Gentiles. They're not the unbelievers. They are the believers who fall and prey to the false narratives, the pseudo realities, and heart living lives as a pseudo servant. Because they are the ones who will stone you, not literally, but verbally. They are the ones who will slander your reputation. Because the truthfulness of your walk, your service, is going to make unrighteous believers uncomfortable.
Amen. That's deep.
So what do we want to understand? In this month, you who are faithful have the opportunity to make the devil uncomfortable by you seeking that hidden good until you find it. By you looking at that mountain and saying, "That's not a mountain, that's a hill." When Jesus said, "You can say unto that mountain, be gone," the mountain doesn't have to go anywhere. All that has to change is me no longer seeing it as a mountain that I can't overcome. So let's look at some important facts to focus on concerning Dan, the son of Jacob, this year. All right. We know that Dan translates as judge, to minister judgment and to plead a cause. All right. So we're going to learn some things about Dan. Some of you know, some of you don't. We're going to make Dan a real person. We're not going to make him an evil person. He's going to be a real person. So what's the reality? And again, we want to look at this. Dan was the fifth son. That's his reality. But Yahweh had prophetically appointed him to be a judge of all the ones, not just the four ahead of him, but the seven behind him. Now, watch what that means. It meant that he was divinely given an equal, please make sure you put that word in, equal rule with the sons of Leah and Rachel. Now, at this time, I want you to see this man as a real person. All right, the first four sons, his first four older brothers all came from the same mother. They all came from Leah. So here he comes, and his mother is Bilhah, the handmaiden, the wife but not the full wife, who had rights but not the same rights. So let's read this.
Genesis 49:16. Dan will judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel.
So you would think that God would have given that right that responsibility to at least the firstborn, or if not second. But he went all the way down to the fifth. Now here's the problem. What had God given him? An equal rule. See, in other words, it didn't matter that the mothers differentiated between the children. It didn't matter that the daddy differentiated between the children, because God never did. So he gave him something so valuable, but yet he still felt like an outcast because his first four brothers had a different mother. Now, for those that have paper, underline outcast. What had God given him? Equal. He was on par with the first four. But how did he feel? Because he had a different mother.
Outcast.
He felt like an outcast. Y'all got to hold on to that. He felt like an outcast, which was an absolute lie. He fell prey to that because he had another mother, but his father was a prophet. And so when his father began to speak, the spirit came upon him and said, I don't care what the mothers say, this is who you are.
Amen.
So rather than be happy with his appointment, equal rule, he chose an alternative life. So some of you hear what I'm saying because he's talking to you. God has given you something, but because you fall in prey to some emotional feelings and you fall in prey to a false narrative, is you're living an alternative life instead of the great life that God has for you, that he has to send you through some things first. So he lives a life that is now prophetically comparing him to a viper. Now, my wife gave me these pictures. She gave me some of the pictures tonight, and I appreciate them because they really illustrate the point. For us over here, we don't pay attention to these kind of snakes, but it's really, real important to understand how they operate. So let's read what he says. Take a look at the picture, and then I want you to imagine you are riding a horse and how you don't even see this snake, but you end up being affected by him immediately after you pass him. All right, so let's read.
Genesis 49:17. Dan will be a viper on the road, a horned snake in the path that bites the horse's heels, so its rider falls off backward.
Here you are riding, you're looking forward, you're not looking down, the horse is looking forward, he's not looking down, but all the while, who's looking at you?
A snake.
That snake, he's nestled in there, and notice, he doesn't confront you face on, he waits till you pass him, and then he, but what he bites is not you. He bites the horse that you on, because when he bites the horse that you on, is now going to affect you. So, food for thought. You can answer this in the chat. You can wait till later because there's some things we're going to do. Why might a maintainer or a concluder, but not an initiator, why might them two feel the way Dan did about his birth position? Meditate on that. He was fifth, he was equal, but he still felt like an outcast. So why might someone who's a maintainer or a concluder feel that way? Give you some time to think about it, because some of you are maintainers, and some of you are concluders, and some of you feel the same way. Some of you are choosing an alternative lifestyle because it doesn't seem like God's doing anything right now. let's learn something else about a little story. As I said, take your notes with that, because I'm going to have several questions for you the Spirit gave me to give you to honestly meditate on, to reflect. Like I said, I don't mind if you do it in the chat. It doesn't matter. You can do it on your own, but you need to seriously consider all of these questions he's asking you if you want to understand Dan and you don't want to fall prey to what they fell prey to. Now, here was another problem. Dan felt that way about his brothers. So notice, what did his four brothers have to do with their birth position? They didn't choose that. They had nothing to do with that. Two, but God didn't give them that rule and role as judge, but he gave it to Dan. So here's the problem. Dan felt the same way about Joseph as well. Now, even though he was born after him. Let's read.
Genesis 37:19-20. They said, look, this dreamer is coming. So come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these water caverns here. Then we'll say some wild animal devoured him. We'll see then what becomes of his dreams.
Okay, so now watch. Let's learn something about this episode here. We've always focused on them, Joseph, but we never focused on Dan's part, the other brother's part, and why they even wanted to go there. So why did Jacob's other sons, notice who they were, the sons of the handmaiden, why did they want to murder Joseph? Now understand, these are brothers. These are family members. And they're wanting to kill him. So you got to realize that's a strong emotion. I don't care if you have dreams. I don't care if you think you're better than I am. But something's wrong if I really want to kill you because of it. Let's learn something that a lot of you may not know and will help explain some things. So why did the other sons want to murder Joseph? Go ahead, Deb.
Genesis 37:2. Here is the old, he used to pasture the flock with his brothers, even though he was still a boy. Once when he was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives, he brought a bad report about them to their father.
Now, I gotta paint this picture. He's 17 years old. He used to pasture the flock with his brothers, even though he was still a boy. So why would Scripture make note of his age, make note of what he was doing, and the fact that he was still a boy? See, when you see that word with his brothers, you automatically look at him, Joseph, because he was 17, you automatically look at him as a kid and not realize his father put him in charge of the shepherding, even though he was
still a boy,
17. So notice what happens. Who was he with? The handmaiden's sons. And what did he bring?
A bad
report about their father. Now, we don't know exactly what they had done, but here's what we do know. That word bad in the Hebrew, ra, means evil, distressful. In other words, what they did was, it was so wicked that it compelled Joseph to tell Jacob. It's not bad. What they were doing was wicked. Now, what do we know about Joseph even though he was 17? What kind of character did he have? It was a character that kept him throughout his life when he got into evil, bad, compromising situations. And notice what Joseph didn't have: a respect of persons.
Amen.
Even though, what age was he?
17.
Even though the people working for him were his brothers, who was he serving? Who was he taking care of? His father's flock. There's a whole lot of deep stuff in there for people to understand. Joseph was going to take care of his father's flock, even if it meant getting his brothers, his older brothers, in trouble. Now let's look at some important facts to focus on concerning Dan, the tribe. All right, Dan was the second largest of the four tribals. Watch how large this tribe was. It outnumbered Manasseh 2-1 and Ephraim 3-2. Now they were stationed on the north side and they were to move last when it came time to march. All right, so here's your question. What's the importance of placing the second largest force at the back of the formation militarily? We had the largest force up front, and we had the second largest force at the back. So what's the importance of doing that? Think about that. God put the biggest force up front. He put the second largest force at back. So what's the importance? What could have been in their mind? How could Dan have felt by believing that false narrative and not understanding the importance of his position? Let's learn something else. Let's move on. Let's learn something else. See, you would think that the second largest would be second or third, not in the back. But militarily, there's a reason for that. And some of you, that will explain some things to you if you will listen to the Spirit now. You might not be that person, number one, in the position. But if you're number two, that does not preclude you being in the back, because there is a specific reason for that. Let's learn something about Jewish history. It confirms that the Danites, because we see the movies, all of Israel left. Reality, history shows that some of the Danites chose to remain in Egypt and not even go to Canaan. You don't hear that about any other tribe. So here is the tribe of the fifth son, the tribe that was given the responsibility of judgment. The tribe that was placed in a north position in the back, and some of them don't even leave Egypt. Jewish history also confirms that many of them, please pay attention to this, they married Egyptians while they were in Egypt. In other words, they married their captors. What's the significance of that? Now let's look at this one, Aholiab, who was a Danite. Look at this responsibility. Remember, they were judges. He was given a position of co-constructing some of Egypt's holiest objects. So in other words, these utensils that stood before God, God gave that honor to a Danite. But remember, how's he feeling? How's that Danite feeling? Less than. But you're given these positions, but you fall and pray to your feelings and not the actualities of the life. So let's read it.
Exodus 31:6, I have also appointed as his assistant Oholiab, the son of Achisamach, of the tribe of Dan. Moreover, I have endowed all the craftsmen with the wisdom to make everything I have ordered you.
So here is this man, second in charge, to making all of the holy instruments. And look what God had given him. He gave him a wisdom that others didn't have. So now let's look at Dan some more. But scripture records there were a few Danites who were spiritually dishonorable in their behavior. Now let's go back to something and watch the hypocrisy of this. There's an unnamed mixed Danite. I have to emphasize the mixed so that you understand what the story is about. A mixed Danite who blasphemed Yahweh's name in a fight, and he died an ignoble death. So in other words, what do we mean by mixed Danite? So let's read it. Let's see what that mix was.
Leviticus 24, 10 through 11. There was a man who was the son of a woman of Israel and an Egyptian father. He went out among the people of Israel, and this son of a woman of Israel had a fight in the camp with a man of Israel, in the course of which the son of the woman of Israel uttered the name Udahavahe in a curse. So they brought him to Moshe. His mother's name was Shlomit, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan.
Now, please notice why we have to say the mix. Please notice the circumstance. All right, who was this man? What tribe was he from? He was a tribe of Dan. But notice, his mother was Jewish. His father was Egyptian. They were fighting in the camp. So obviously, they have been married because he's a man. So they had to have been married in the captivity. And notice, they never said the man's name. And someone please tell me why. Why did they not give his name? Instead, they told you his mother's name and what tribe she was from.
Because the birthright goes through the Jewish mother.
True, but there's more than that. I want y'all to think about that. Like I say, write it down, because I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end to send some things to me. Why did they list his mother's name, but not his man name when he was a full-grown man? All right, let's go on. Samson. People look at Samson admirably, but he's in there as a negative example of a Danite. Watch again. What were the Danites given? The job to be judges. What was Samson? He was Israel's 14th judge. But what was the problem with Samson? He was unholy. Why was he unholy? It was for the same reasons that what's happened to that tribe that you'll see later. He did the same thing that the Danites always did. Here's what we forget. Samson wasn't supposed to die. He was supposed to judge Israel and free Israel from the Philistines. What did he do? What stopped him from being the deliverer that God equipped him to do, so that he died a death that was not honorable, but God gave him a chance to be forgiven and a chance to do a little of the lot that he was supposed to do? Let's go on. But there's also one greater, the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist. He is a Danite, and he will do something that first one did. You all remember that? He will blaspheme the name of God, and he will die an ignoble death as well. People don't always wonder, in the lake of fire, why does Satan not get cast in first? Let's read.
Revelation 19:20. But the beast was taken captive, and with it the false prophet who, in its presence, had done the miracles which he had used to deceive those who had received the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped his image. The beast and the false prophet were both thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur.
So in other words, this Danite, the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist, is not Satan personified. He's a man. He's a human being that's fully given himself over to Satan. And he commits that act of blasphemy. And the penalty for blasphemy is death. He and the false prophet get cast in first and second. Just hold on to that for a little while. So now we're going to tie this. Remember, what's the theme for this month? Is we look at last month. Is selfless love. Now this selfless love is going to birth benevolent works. So now we're going to go, well, what are these benevolent works and how do they pertain to this season's birth pain service? So we are in a new season. It's the birth pains. That means we have to have a new service because the approbation we had for service prior to the birth pains, it will not work in the birth pains. I have to have a new appointment, a new anointing, and a new approbation because it's a new season. So I got to realize the works that we did, I did, you did, those works will not work in this period. So let's see what they benevolent works are. How they pertain, how does this pertain to you? What is it God is going to do? Why have some of you been put on hold? Why is he getting ready to release you? All these whys we're going to get to understand. Again, remember, what tribe is this? It's Dan. What son was he? He was the fifth son. What was his location? He was at the back. But what was his strength? He was the second largest. So just keep that in mind. All right, so what are benevolent works? They're spirit-inspired acts that fulfill divine purposes according to times and season. Now, I've spoken with the leadership team about this. Now it's your turn to understand. A reason some of you have a hard time discerning God's will is because you don't understand what I'm getting ready to say. God uses seasons. That's that first blank. God uses seasons to reveal his general will. These are what we call festivals. In that season, God does a specific work that he only does during that season, and at no other time of the year will he do that specific work. And times for specific will. In other words, that's new moons. So in other words, what's his general will? You know that by what season am I in? What festivals are near me? What festivals am I in? That lets me know God's general will. Remember, he never violates that. God does not deliver you from things except in the spring. He sustains but he delivers in the spring. Now, for those of you who were at the Shabbat service, what got David in trouble is where was he in the spring? Where was he at the appointed time of deliverance? He was supposed to be on the battlefield. He was supposed to be leading the deliverance, and instead he was at home resting. That's how he got in trouble. He ignored the general will of God. Times, what do we mean by that? On times, each new moon, God has a theme. Each new moon, God does a specific work. So if I want to know God's specific will, I have to know what month am I in to know that. God does not do the works of Judah in the month of Dan. So for me to start lining up, I got to line it up first with the festivals. I got to line it up second with his new moons. I got to line it up third with his Shabbats. And then I have to line it up fourth with my lot. So let's watch what he says. Why am I making that emphasis on that? A lot of you don't know what God's doing because you refuse to be in obedience with the festivals. You refuse to line up with the festivals, or some of you are ignorant, you just don't know. And I got to line it up with that month. So the enemy can't deceive me, because when is the month of deliverance? It's always at Pesach. When did they leave Pesach? When was Jesus crucified, resurrected? Pesach, unleavened bread. So I got to line my life up with his general will, which are revealed in the festivals, and his specific will, which are revealed in the times, the new moons, and then Shabbat, and then on with my lot. All right, so let's read what he says. I'm trying to finish up here.
Galatians 5:16-17. What I am saying is this: run your lives by the Spirit. Then you will not do what your old nature wants. For the old nature wants what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit wants what is contrary to the old nature. These oppose each other, so that you find yourselves unable to carry out your good intentions.
So some of you now know why it's been hard. Your old man, your new man are battling, because your old man wants to, and let's go into it. He wants to do self-initiated works, not benevolent works. See, benevolent works are spirit-inspired. Self-initiated are fleshly acts that fulfill human purposes. In notice, self-determined time and seasons. How do I know when something is generally a self-determined time and season? It's because you will use this two-letter phrase, I think. Mm-hmm. Once you say, I think, you're already in flesh. You are getting ready to self-determine a time. So for those of you who want to now live spirit-based, you got to line up general will, line up specific times, and you cannot do things because you determine that's what the best thing is to do. Let's read.
John 3:6. What is born from the flesh is flesh, and what is born from the Spirit is spirit.
Jacob can never become a spiritual man. Israel is of spirit. Jacob, Esau are of flesh. And just like when Abraham was down, you know, in Hades, it was split and you couldn't go from one side to the other. Jacob can't be Israel, and Israel can't be Jacob or Esau. Their natures cannot combine. They cannot be. Israel cannot be anything but a son of God. Jacob and Esau can be everything but a son of God. That's why we have to die and be born again. So how do these benevolent works pertain to our lesson about Dan and his appointed service? All right. So we're going to come together and put this again. So remember, what were the Danites called to be? The judges of the whole tribe of Israel. Mm-hmm. So because the Danites judged Israel to be too weak to help them, and the Philistines too strong to conquer. You're going to learn something now. They were the ones who inspired their brethren to demand a human king rule over them and fight for them. In other words, something that you've read in scripture, but you never knew it was the Danites who led them to do this. And we're going to talk about why.
1 Samuel 8:19-20. However, the people refused to listen what Samuel told them. And they said, no, we want a king over us so that we can be like all the nations with our king to judge us, lead us, and fight our battles.
Okay, let's get this straight. What Deborah said on that last part. The king to do what?
Judge us, lead us, and fight our battles.
Let's start the first one. Judge us. But who did God create and equip to judge?
Them.
Them. Let's get that straight. To lead us. But watch that last part. And fight our battles. In other words, we want a king to fight the Philistines for us, because they felt the Philistines were too strong to conquer. Because when they were taking the land initially, they were told to eradicate the Philistines, and instead they allowed them to live. And you're going to see later that they got mad at the rest of Israel because they wouldn't come help. This king wouldn't go fight the Philistines for them like they thought. So let's look at this other reality. But if the Danites had remained true to their appointment, watch again, where? In their territory, with what? And their commission, then their anointing would have made them flourish as they benevolently served in their spot. In other words, God did not equip them to serve themselves. He equipped them to serve the rest of the nation. Then they wouldn't have chosen to perform non-benevolent works outside this, or in other words, outside their predetermined creative function. For those of you that don't know, that's what we call callings. In other words, if the tribe of Dan had remained a judge, had stayed in their spot, then God would have given them the anointing and approbation to actually drive the Philistines out. Watch me. I'm going to show you something, and most people don't know this. Because they weren't true to their appointment, they turned around and unlawfully occupied sections of Naphtali and Manasseh's appointed territory. So in other words, their fear of the Philistines, their resentment for their position, and now you're getting ready to find something out, third thing, it caused them to actually usurp their brothers and take some of their territory. So let's read.
Joshua 19:47. The territory of the descendants of Dan was too small for them. So the descendants of Dan went up and fought against Leshem and captured it, defeated it by the sword, took possession of it, and lived there, calling Leshem Dan after Dan, their ancestor.
I got to make sure you understand what they did. In other words, a lot of them left. They went to a territory that was their brothers. They went to a peaceful people and slaughtered them. They turned over, took it over, renamed it Dan. But where was Dan? So I want to show you this on a map so you really understand the gravity of what they did. All right. So look at this map, and I want you to look down in the middle. I don't know if you all can see my cursor, but anyway, look over to slightly to your left. You'll see the tribe of Dan, the city of Joppa. Can you all see that? In other words, they're just southwest of Ephraim. That's Dan. All right, everybody see that? There's Dan. So I want you to see, look up near the top of the map, and you'll see where Naphtali and Manasseh is, and then you'll see that little circle there that says Dan. Do you realize what they did? They left all the way down there near Joppa, near the land of the Philistines, and they went all the way up north to Baal God. But to get some territory, they had to basically strong arm it and take it from their brothers. Down here, southwest, God put them there. Up here, northeast, they put themselves there. And you're going to see that that was the absolute worst mistake that they could make, and that was what basically left them with some eternal consequences. So let's go back. Approbation. Approbation would have shielded them from an apostate Levite and an apostate religion. So understand what they did. They moved out of their appointed position. They went far north. They took land from their brothers that, not understanding, God appointed them. God set up those dimensions, took their land, and in the process, they do something that was devastating. They took an apostate Levite and they started an apostate religion, and they became the cult center for idolatrous worship, and they plunged the entire nation into a state of idolatry. In other words, when they did that, they became so apostate, they became so idolatrous, that they were able to drag nine, some people call 10, of the tribes into it with them. So let's watch what they did.
Judges 18, 16 through 20. The 600 soldiers from Dan stayed at the gate, while the five who had spied out the land went and took the idol overlaid with silver, the vest, and the household gods. The Kohen had stayed with the 600 soldiers by the gate. But when they went into Micah's house and took the silver-covered image, the vest, and the household gods, the Kohen asked them, "What are you doing?" They replied, "Be quiet, keep your mouth shut, and come with us. Be a father and Kohen for us. Which is better, to be a Kohen in the house of the man, of the one man, or to be the Kohen to a whole tribe and family in Israel?" This made the Kohen feel very good. So he took the ritual vest, the household gods, and the image, and went off with the people.
Did y'all see what just happened? Did you see what just happened? They came in. They took this Levite and propositioned him. And that Levite now was the one
to lead him,
who ultimately apostatized and started the whole process. And let's bring you something else Dan did. They repeated the mistake of another Levite who they had lead up their idolatrous worship, named Aaron. And he had them, and they had him build a golden calf. Okay, somebody, what's the significance of that? They took a man who was a man of God, gave him a as they said in the movies, an offer he couldn't refuse. And now, instead of serving the living Yahweh, he now created a whole religion for these people that took the whole nation down. And that is exactly how it's going to happen with the Antichrist. It's going to be someone who was originally good, who's going to get proposition, who's going to be from the tribe of Dan. And he's going to take that step, and it's going to take him into the same place of Judas. So now you know how it's going to happen. But here's some more for us. We're going to learn some more. So because the Danites forsook their appointment and their anointing, so remember their appointment. What were they to be? The judges. All right. They forsook that. The anointing. Watch again. In that anointing of judging Israel, they would have kept Israel free from idolatry and apostasy. But what did they choose instead? Because they left their appointed position, they went to a self-determined position. It caused them to steal. It caused them to usurp. It caused them to push out. It caused them to take and totally corrupt, which is why they could brazenly erect high places. But their lineage was terminated for a violation of an earlier agreed upon Deuteronomic condition. Back in the past with Moses, God brought the elders, God brought the people before the mountain, and he had them agree to both the blessings
and the curses.
And watch what God said. You're not saying this for just you here. You're saying this for your lineage. Here we go.
Deuteronomy 29, 18 through 20. If there is such a person, when he hears the words of this curse, he will bless himself secretly, saying to himself, I will be all right, even though I will stubbornly keep doing whatever I feel like doing. So that I, although dry, sinful, will be added to the watered, righteous. But Adonai will not forgive him. Rather, the anger and jealousy of Adonai will blaze up against that person. Every curse written in this book will be upon him. Adonai will blot his name out his name from under heaven. Adonai will blot out his name from under heaven. Adonai will single him out from all the tribes of Israel to experience what is bad and all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the Torah.
So watch carefully what the Lord said. If you do this, in other words, if you, Dan, if you do what you did, you will not be forgiven. And the consequence is every curse written in this book will fall upon you. And he said he'll blot out his name under heaven. So watch what that meant. That meant because of him taking the whole nation, for him openly and brazenly disrespecting Yahweh, Yahweh says, I'm going to blot your name out from heaven. So watch what he says now. Shamron, Samaria, those people. All right. He says, this indulgence in idolatry led them individually to being blot out. In other words, like Yom Kippur, their names were taken out of the book. So watch what God says so you can better understand what happened to them and why.
Amos 8:11, those who swear by the sin of Shamron, who say, as your God, Dan, lives, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they will fall and never get up again.
You all see that? In other words, Dan had totally disconnected him from Israel, from the worship of Yahweh, from the Torah, and he totally intentionally contaminated the rest of the nation. See, people don't realize why God was so hard on him. He totally contaminated. He turned 9 or 10, whichever way you want to count it, tribes against Yahweh. But Yahweh said, and there's one more thing. And the tribe's name will be permanently removed from the community roster. In other words, since you did what you did, for the rest of eternity, the name of Dan will never be mentioned or heard from again. Let's read.
Revelation 7, 4 through 8. I heard how many were sealed, 144,000 from every tribe of the people of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Shimon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Amen.
All right, so let's look at something real quick as we get ready to wrap this up. Somebody tell me something. What's odd? One, it's obvious. Who's not mentioned in this listing?
Dan.
All right, everybody see that? The tribe of Dan is not listed. These are the same names that are going to be on the 12 gates. See, so in other words, you can't get into the heavenly city through a gate of Dan. In other words, let's go symbolism. You can't get to God through any form of idolatry. There's no entrance into the kingdom that way. But something else I want you to notice. Joseph's two sons are listed, and he is listed as well. Remember, in the original, it was his two sons who were a half tribe, and he wasn't listed at all. But now in the end, his sons are listed as full, and he's given his own gate himself. So in other words, the man way back in the beginning, when the sons of Zilpah and Bilhah were there with the evil report, the one they tried to kill, Joseph, is the one in the end, in eternity, has an eternal name, an eternal gate, and separate gates for his sons.
Hallelujah.
So the one you tried to kill, you end up being killed. All because of idolatry. So let's wrap it up. So why are benevolent works especially important to the Spirit's ministry this season? Try to do this in 5 minutes or less. The Spirit uses benevolent works to reveal himself to others via his servant's selfless service. All right, make that quick. In other words, the Spirit is going to show who he is through people who deny themselves, so that now the people who receive their service, they see him and not them. But if their works are not benevolent, then the people will see you and not the God who sent you or the God who's in you. So in other words, God wants to show them his eternal nature, eternal, spiritual, unselfish, and he wants to show his attributes, omniscience, omnipotence, and benevolence, but he needs you to be dead so that he can be alive and show them himself. The Spirit uses benevolent works to answer the prayers of others via his servants' selfless service. In other words, when people pray to God, God's answer is through the hands, the feet, the mouth, the pockets of the selfless servants. That's how they get it from God. They get it from those selfless people who, because it's a benevolent work, they don't need something for doing it. They don't get something from doing it because their Father takes care of them. So let's watch. Yahweh stationed the Danites where all of Israel could have access to judgment. In other words, God put them in the place. But what did they say about this place? Oh, this place is too small. See, that's how the enemy gets a lot of people. God will put you somewhere that it's really for a greater work in a greater time, but you're only looking at now, oh no, we got to leave. We got to find something better. But they chose to focus on what the other tribes didn't do for them. In other words, we prompted you. We pushed you to get a king, and then that king didn't even fight and deliver us from the Philistines. But wait a minute. Who had the second largest group? The Danites. In other words, the Danites were supposed to do it themselves, but they wanted the rest of Israel to help them. And then when the rest of Israel wouldn't help them, they said, forget you. This led to them being assimilated when they separated and tried to protect themselves. See, the Philistines could only do so much because the other tribes were surrounding them and protecting them. But when they got all the way to the north, they didn't just worry about the Philistines. They had to now worry about the Amorites. Next thing. The Spirit used the benevolent works to provide healing to his selfless servants via the work of selfless others. In other words, I'm going to get healed by another servant, selfless servant, ministering God to me, not me getting it myself. So let's read what scripture said. We're almost done.
Each of us should please his neighbor and act for his good, thus building him up. For even the Messiah did not please himself. Rather, as the Tanakh says, the insults of those insulting you fell on me.
See, so selfless service is about benevolent works building you up, not tearing you down. So I got to understand the false narrative is the Spirit doesn't use me to correct other folks' sin. That's his job. The Spirit uses me to build others up. That's what brings about the healing in them. So why are benevolent works important to the planting of his seed beginning this Tevet? The Spirit is using benevolent works this month to passively implant seeds for long-term change. We're going to explain that in a second. As they are necessary to get through the birth pains and start in the start of the final paradigm, Jacob's trouble shift. So in other words, in this birth pains, the bulk of the work that's going to be done is not going to be active instruction. It's going to be passive instruction. What's going to be done is active service. So I have to understand, because it's no longer active instruction, but passive, it's no longer passive service, it's active. I have to realize that paradigm shift is people are going to get affected more by what you do and how you treat them than they are by what you say to them. So because this shift has occurred, because the pandemic has hit, because things are going crazy everywhere, those selfless servants, as they minister to people, as they are the answer to their prayers, as they are the agents of reception, that's how God is going to draw them into the kingdom. So one of the things we're going to be doing every new moon from now is you're going to be given some advanced study questions that you should try to answer. You should try to research, and you should let God show you what he means by that. So last month we had this food for thought. Why did the master hide himself from the disciples as they served others? See, if I can't answer that question, then I'm not going to be able to refute a feeling that I have and I'm going to get during these birth pains and the first part of Jacob's trouble. That's why that question is important. All right, so let's look at the question for this month. It's connected. Watch again. So if Britain and American believers are Dan's offspring, as many biblical scholars believe, what would this explain about the exportation of their version of Christianity and worship? Later on, research that, answer that. If you email it back to me, I'm not giving you the answer, but I will direct you to help you discover the answer on your own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you now and praise you for being the mighty God that you are and doing all the things that you have done. Father, thank you for your word this evening for your people. Now direct your people away from idolatry, away from running, and to come back into their spot, and to trust you for healing, to trust you for deliverance, and to trust you not only for survival, but this hidden good that they will find today. Father, we truly do want to praise you and bless you again for being this mighty God. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Great message. Great message.
Amen.
So we're going to take this time again for those that's going to listen to this later. You know, we want to bless you and praise you as well. Praise him as well. And for those of you who are here to or preparing to give an offering, please do so after we worship with this song. God bless everyone. Justin, go ahead and play the song.
Honey, close your screen, your camera.